Con Helenin?
Here.
Con Helenin is here. Matthew Helenin? Here. Matthew Helenin is here. Johnson? Johnson is not here. Kim? Oh, Kim is not on the board. Coburn?
Here.
Coburn is here. Kurzweil?
You'll have to ask Matthew whether or not I'm here.
Kurzweil is physically present. Nor? Okay. Nor?
Here.
Nor is here. Pritchett?
Here.
Pritchett is here. Privis?
Here.
Privis is here. Rosenberg? Rosenberg is not here.
He's here somewhere.
I thought she came in.
Her.
Yeah. Russell?
Yes.
Russell is here. Sawyer?
Here.
Sawyer is here. Siegel?
Here.
Siegel is here. Sterling?
Here.
Sterling is here. Aki Tanaka? Aki Tanaka? Oh, sorry. Aki Tanaka is here. Kate Tanaka?
Here.
Kate Tanaka is here. Turner?
Present.
Turner is here. Wilkinson?
Here.
Wilkinson is here. Withers?
Here.
Withers is here. That's 20 present and a quorum.
Okay, very good. Thank you. So the next item up.
Excuse.
Oh, I'm sorry. I need a motion to excuse. Well, the two people I heard from were David Gans and Donald Goldmacher.
So moved.
Do other people know of reasons
Grace
to
excuse?
Oh,
Cynthia
well.
Is here.
She is? You saw her?
She's on her way, yeah.
Okay, so we'll hold off on dealing with that. We'll just do the motion on the two people who asked to be excused.
Cynthia.
So it's been moved and seconded that that we excuse Donald Goldmacher and David Gans. Is there any objections to excusing them? All right, very good. So moved. And now we're at the point where we're going to talk about the agenda. Everyone should have a copy of the agenda. If you don't, there are copies on the back table. I'm just waiting for people to get copies of the agenda. So there's been some discussion about the agenda on email. Does anybody have Sasha?
Yes, I would like to make a motion to move the evaluation and then the personnel committee that the next order after the IGM report that we do go into executive session and do the IGM evaluation and then the personnel committee meeting after that and then return to the the agenda would flow as before. And the reason for that is that we have two really big discussion items that are about as important as they get for this LSB, and I want to make sure that we have sufficient time rather than putting them off to the end so that we're not feeling squeezed by time and not being able to have a real discussion.
Okay, so it's been moved and seconded that after the IGM report, we go into closed session, deal with the IGM evaluation, and then with the report from the personnel committee. Is there any discussion on the motion? Tracy.
Well, usually the way that you deal with it, well,
the mics are a little loud.
Isn't it strange? Anyway, okay, trying that again. Usually the way that you deal with the concern that you have enough time in closed session is not jumping in and out from open session to closed session, back to open session again, which is kind of frustrating for anyone that, you know, might be hoping to attend. What you do is set a time certain for closed session that will cover towards the end of the meeting that will allow for the necessary time. I'm not clear what necessary time is being suggested to go in after the IGM report, would be probably about 12:30, and that seems to be suggesting that we may need 3.5 hours in closed session, which strikes me as kind of insane, so I hope that's not the case. But assuming that we can get through the material in the recommended not quite 2 hours, I will make a substitute motion that we go into closed session time certain at 2 o'clock. Well, that's actually what it says on the agenda, at 2 p.m., and that we take care of new business or whatever items that we can prior to entering in at 2 p.m. So I guess what I am doing is let's do this. Let's make the substitute motion a time certain that we go in at 1:30 p.m., and that will give us 2.5 hours for the urgent business, and we will get as far down the existing agenda as we can by 1:30 p.m. And that's a substitute motion.
All right. So now the discussion goes to the issue of the substitute motion. Does anyone want to speak on the substitute? Oh, is there a second? I'm sorry. Thank you. Can we turn the volume down? It's making me crazy. Okay. Thank you. Is there any discussion on the substitute motion? No discussion? Okay. Seeing no discussion, we'll come to a vote on it. I guess I'll ask the secretary to do a roll call. I apologize, but it seems like easier in the long run. What? We're voting on the substitute motion. Tracy's substitute motion, as I understand it, is that we go into closed session at a time certain at 1:30.
And?
Well, I take it that's for as long as we need. So from 1:30 till the end of the meeting. Yeah, Janet.
Sorry. And also that new business be moved before the closed session.
Oh, did she say that?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
I didn't put that in the text.
I think what she said was that we deal with as much business as possible before the time certain. Okay? All right. Secretary, we'll call the roll, please.
Okay, so just to make sure I have this correct, time certain at 1:30 and then for as long as it takes to deal with the issue, is that correct?
I don't know. Is that what? Is that your motion, Tracy?
What was that? Would you repeat
your motion? So as I understand it, your motion is time certain at 1:30 and then for as long as it takes to deal with the issues of the personnel committee and the new hire.
Correct.
Okay. Okay, so Bernstein?
No.
Bernstein, no. Drake?
No.
Drake, no. Fest? Fest, yes. Futron?
No.
Futron, no. Gann's not here. Goldmacher, not here. Con Helenan?
No.
Con Helenan, no. Matthew Helenan?
No.
Matthew Helenan, no. Johnson? Johnson?
Yes.
Just
yes.
Arrived. Okay. Johnson, yes. Coburn?
Yes.
Coburn, yes. Kurzweil?
No.
Kurzweil, no. Knorr?
Yes.
Knorr, yes. Pritchett?
Yes.
Pritchett, yes. Privis? Privis, no. Rosenberg?
Yes.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Aye.
Yes.
Rosenberg, yes. Russell?
Yes. No.
Russell, no. Sawyer?
No.
Sawyer, no. Siegel?
No.
Siegel, no. Sterling?
Yes.
Sterling, yes. Aki Tanaka?
Yes.
Aki Tanaka, yes. Kate Tanaka?
Yes.
Kate Tanaka, yes. Turner?
No.
Turner, no. Wilkinson?
I'm not voting.
Not voting. Withers?
No.
Withers, no. So that's 12 no and 9 yes, and it fails.
Okay. So now we go back to Sasha's motion about reordering the agenda, as I understand it. Her motion is that after the IGM report, we go into closed session and discuss the IGM evaluation and then the personnel issue. And Sasha had a second. Somebody over here seconded. Okay. Khan seconded. All right. So is there any discussion on the motion? Any discussion on the motion? Okay. Let's come to a vote, and I'll ask the Secretary to call the roll, please.
Bernstein?
Yes.
Bernstein, yes. Drake?
Yes.
Drake, yes. Fest?
Pass.
Fest passes. Futron?
Yes.
Futron, yes. Gans, not here. Goldmacher, not here. Conhellinen?
Yes.
Conhellinen, yes. Matthew Hellinen?
Yes.
Matthew Hellinen, yes. Johnson?
Pass.
Johnson passes. Coburn?
Pass.
Coburn passes. Kurzweil?
Where'd he go?
Okay. I'll treat him as a pass. Nor? Nor abstains. Pritchett?
Abstains.
Pritchett abstains. Privis? Privis, yes. Rosenberg?
Pass.
Rosenberg passes. Russell?
Yes.
Russell, yes. Sawyer?
Yes.
Sawyer, yes. Siegel?
Yes.
Siegel, yes. Sterling?
Yes.
Sterling, yes. Tanaka, Aki? Abstain? Kate Tanaka?
Yes.
Kate Tanaka, yes. Turner?
Yes.
Turner, yes. Wilkinson?
I'm not voting.
Not voting. Withers?
Yes.
Withers, yes. Okay, so coming back to the passes, Fest? Fest abstains. Johnson?
Abstain.
Johnson abstains. Coburn?
Abstain.
Abstains. Kurzweil? Kurzweil's not back. Okay. So, that's 13 yes.
Oh, you forgot me.
Oh, that's, you're correct. And Rosenberg?
I think Henry did too.
Abstain.
Henry abstained. And what is your vote?
Then you just forgot me. My vote is abstain.
Okay. So 13 yes and 7 no no's, 13 yeses, 7 abstentions. So it passes.
Okay. All right. Very good. So now we're, Mel?
I move to set a 2-minute time limit on speeches.
Okay. Is there any objection to setting a 2-minute time limit on speakers?
Yes, I object.
Okay. Is there any discussion?
Yeah, it would just be really refreshing to just try a little trust activity and see if we could deal with problems maybe as they come up. I don't see the necessity of this. And I kind of, it makes me a little bit sad that it comes up every time. It feels like this kind of repressive sort of, doesn't matter what gets said, we don't only but want 2 minutes of it. It'd be a shame if somebody was speaking truth and it took 3 minutes.
I'd just like to point out that it has to be voted on every time. It's not a rule that can be put in place for all times, and that is time limits, and that it is always possible to extend anyone's time. All you have to do is make a motion. It has to be approved by the body, and someone can be given extra time. That's just a comment. Laura.
I just wanted to say that these... We have so many meetings, and they're so long and so unwieldy that any way to make them more expedited is a good thing. Anybody can say what they need to say in 2 minutes.
Okay. All right. Is there any further discussion on the motion? All right. I'm going to ask the Secretary to call the roll. Mal's motion, which was seconded by – who seconded Mal's motion? Oh, Tanya did. Okay. Okay.
Okay. Bernstein?
Yes.
Bernstein, yes. Drake?
Yes.
Drake, yes. Fest?
No.
Fest? No. Futron?
Yes.
Futron, yes. Goldbacher? Not here. Conhellinen?
Yes.
Conhellinen, yes. Matthew Hellinen?
Yes.
Matthew Hellinen, yes. Johnson?
No.
Johnson, no. Coburn?
No.
I'm sorry?
No.
No. Coburn, no. Kurzweil?
Still out.
Still out. Okay. Nor?
No.
Nor, no. Pritchett?
Absolutely no.
Pritchett, no. Privis? Privis, yes. Rosenberg?
No.
I got Pritchett no, and Privis was yes. And you are voting, I'm sorry?
No.
You're voting no. Thank you. Russell?
Russell.
Russell?
Yes.
Russell, yes. Sawyer?
Absolutely.
Sawyer?
Yes.
Sawyer, yes. Siegel?
Yes.
Siegel, yes. Sterling?
No.
Sterling, no. Aki Tanaka? Aki Tanaka, no. Kate Tanaka?
No.
Kate Tanaka, no. Turner?
Absolutely, yes.
Turner, yes. Wilkinson?
I'm not voting.
Wilkinson, not voting. Withers?
Yes.
Withers, yes. So that's 11, yes. 9, no. And it passes.
Okay. Well, okay, I'll tell you why. I mean, clearly from the votes, this is a very closely divided board, and that when people raise their hands, you know, sometimes we have to recount, and it just seems to me more like it works better if we just do the roll call and we have it and we don't have to fuss about going through the vote again or depending on my ears for eyes and nose or somebody counting hands. If you don't want me to do it that way, I won't do it that way, but I just think it's clearer. Okay, we are now up to the question of approving minutes. And so the minutes were emailed to you, and I think you were also given copies this morning at your seat. Is there anyone who doesn't have their copies of the minutes? Let's deal first with the minutes of the December meeting. December 7th. Here it is. Any additions or corrections to the minutes of the December meeting? That's a question. Go ahead.
Is this correct in line 3 that we are moving that speakers be limited to 3 minutes on any one topic? And I guess in January we switched that to 2 minutes. I mean, in February are we going for 1 minute? That doesn't seem consistent to me. Wouldn't that motion have been 2 minutes on any one topic, or are we dealing with a changing bar every month?
Right.
Yes, folks, but what did you do in December?
I suppose someone can listen to the tape and verify that.
It sounds to me like someone should. If we're trying to do a standing rule each month, it should be the same each month, not changing every month.
May I?
Go ahead.
I checked that. It was 3 minutes, according to my notes and according to the tape. Mal's indicating 2 minutes, but I believe the first motion we raised was 3 minutes, and I'm happy to correct that if anybody, discovers otherwise. I thought I verified that.
Okay. The secretary, if someone wants him to, the secretary is willing to verify it by checking the tape. Go ahead.
Let me do this. I'll double check that this weekend in the audio file, and I'll report back to the board, and then you know you can go verify my work. Okay.
Okay. All right. Are there any other additions or amendments to the December minutes? All right. Seeing none. The chair will entertain a motion to approve the minutes with the understanding that the secretary will re-verify the issue of 3 versus 2 minutes. Is there a second? Okay. Are there any objections to adopting the minutes? Seeing none, I assume that we can just say those minutes are adopted. Now we're moving on to the January minutes. Are there any additions or corrections to the January minutes? This one is a challenge because it's 3 whole pages practically.
I have a
Yes, Andrea.
Question. My recollection is that during the January, that I think it was during the Treasurer's Report, wasn't there discussion about, I do think it was said that the Crafts Fair was going to have a report back for us, and I just thought I expected to see some mention of that in the minutes.
Oh, okay.
Craig, I don't have exact wording, but is that your recollection as well?
I believe there was some discussion of the Crafts Fair, and to be honest, I didn't have time to listen to that discussion and verify it. I was working from my notes. So I can go back, and I believe there was more discussion about the Crafts Fair, so
yes.
I'm happy to. So, again, I'm happy to redraft or check it and send it around to the board for, you know, for approval, or I guess I don't know if you can approve it by email, but...
And I guess I would have expected to see it on this agenda.
Okay. Well, what happened was that they're not quite done with all of the finances on the Crafts Fair. That's still being finished up. It was delayed because Maria met with the auditor this month. So I'm working with Maria and Jan Etree to make sure that Jan can come to our March meeting and make a report on the Crafts Fair. And okay.
Well, can the minutes reflect that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Margie's giving a report.
My report is that I'm working with Maria and Jan Etree to see that Jan can come to our March meeting to talk about the Crafts Fair.
That'd be awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Sasha.
Yes, my recollection of the Crafts Fair discussion was that you, Andrea, brought it up in discussion, I think, during the IGM report. I know there was some discussion back and forth on that. It wasn't an item on the agenda, and I don't think the minutes normally reflect every word that is said. They would be awfully long minutes, folks, because we meet for 5 hours. So I'm wondering whether it's necessary to... Crafts Fair was not an item on the agenda.
No, I think what we just resolved was that it will appear, that my report, which I just made to you, will appear in the minutes of this meeting. Okay? And so, all right. Any other questions about the minutes? All right. Are we ready to approve the January minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Lewis moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. All those in favor? No. Are there any objections to approving the minutes? Seeing none, I will accept the minutes as approved. All right. Now, here we are at public comment, and we have no public. They don't love us anymore. Nobody comes to talk to us today. Okay. Announcements. Any member of the board have an announcement? Laura.
We've just started another fund drive at KPFA. What a surprise. We're into 3.5 days. The David Gans and his Grateful Dead all-day marathon is today. It'd be great if anybody can go help answer phones. I think it goes till 9. Of course, we also need board members any day. The times that we really need people are early morning. Sometimes in the afternoon shows like Hard Knock and Flashpoints don't have enough people in the phone room. So anytime you can make an appearance in the phone room, it's helpful. And I just heard that the total right now is $100,000 so far, over $100,000 so far. Our goal is $800,000.
Okay. The drive goes till February 23rd. Is that right?
Yeah,
okay.
Many more days than we usually have. Our drives are getting longer and longer. It's a problem.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Any other announcements? Yes.
Point of inquiry. What's the goal?
800,000.
800,000? Okay, thanks. All right. I have another.
Okay.
One of our board members passed, Terry Duran, and I believe he's having, does anyone know?
I have the details on the
memorial. Okay, can you give that?
I will.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. I'll do it in a minute.
Okay.
Janet.
Yes, on the weekend of February 17th,
There's going to be a whistleblowers or an occupy whistleblowers to occupy the truth. This will be at the International you have to hold the button down. Sorry. Okay. There's going to be a conference from February 17th to 19th called Occupy the Truth or Whistleblowers to Occupy the Truth at the International House. And there will be speakers such as Daniel Ellsberg, Colonel Ann Wright, Ray McGovern, and Jeff Patterson, and others.
Great. Thank you. International House, she said.
What actually is the purpose of the conference?
Well, it's partly to support Brad Manning. It's about whistleblowers, testimonies, and what to do, I guess, what actions to take. I'm not exactly sure of what the where it's going to go, but I'll try to post this to the list.
Thank you. I think you said it's at International House. International House is at Bancroft and Gailey Road. It's at the very top of Bancroft Way in Berkeley. And parking is a bear, so if you want to go, I suggest you walk or take public transit or ride a bike. Okay.
One other thing, and it might be eventually co-sponsored by KPFA. Okay. Looking into that.
Great. Thank you. All right. So.
I have a question.
Oh, sure. Go ahead, Frank.
Just a simple question. Do people know the wireless network here, the code, so I can connect to the internet here?
I don't know. They have.
They must have one.
You know what? The manager is in the office right there. I bet you can just go ask him. Okay. Okay. All right. Yes? Janet. Cynthia. Sorry.
Very exciting event. Put this in your calendar. Monday, February 20th, a forum on foreclosures with the support of KPFA and Social Justice Committee of the BFUU. And we hope it's going to be live streamed so people can hear it. So thank you.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
Oh, it's on foreclosures.
On foreclosures.
Yes, very important.
What time?
7 o'clock.
Okay.
At Bonita and Cedar, 1924 Cedar at Bonita in North Berkeley.
Okay, great. Thank you.
One more.
Any other announcements?
One.
Tanya.
I had a question for Cynthia. Is ACE, what used to be ACORN, are they involved with you all as well?
I was just asking. Yeah, I don't know.
You don't know. Okay.
It's some very wonderful people from the North Bay, and
okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
So the announcement about Terry Duran, there will be a public memorial service for Terry Duran on Saturday, February 25th, at Longfellow Middle School in Berkeley, which is Longfellow Middle School in Berkeley, which is at Derby in Sacramento, starting at 2 p.m. I'm hoping to figure out with the people at KPFA how to get this announced on the air, since Terry was a very important figure in the Berkeley community, and it would be important for KPFA to publicize his memorial. And I hope many of you will be able to attend. Okay, any other announcements? All right, so we're ready for the IGM report. Andrew, you're up. Yeah. Oh, is there a mic over there? Got him.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
as you know, I'm sure you'll be hearing about the Pacifica National Board meeting. I'm going to read you a little bit of the report to that meeting. Yes, I'm sure you're all aware we'll hear more about the Pacifica National Board meeting. I'm going to read some of the report relative to that in my report today, just so that you're in the picture. The overview was that a year ago, KPFA was still reeling after July-November 2010 major staff reductions. A total of about 8.3 full-time equivalent staff positions were eliminated at that time for a saving of about $400,000. KPFA's current full-time equivalent numbers are about 24.5 full-time equivalent positions at KPFA at a cost of salary cost of about $1.7 million and related expenses. Our projected budget this year is $3.3 million. Our current membership number is 20,165. Just a history I'm sure you're all aware of. You know more about it than I, I'm sure. When I rejoined Pacifica in March last year, KPFA was still unstable. Staff were divided and locked in power struggles. Factionalism and machinations were rife. There'd been a strange disappearance of a $375,000 check, allegations of a black woman and a volunteer KPFA producer beaten by Berkeley police in the basement of the station and taken away in a restraining jacket. The popular and long-running tradition of the KPFA morning show had been forced off air by Pacifica in late 2010. The atmosphere was distrustful and unhappy. Almost a year later, KPFA continues to be a fractious and difficult environment, and it seems endemic to the Pacifica model, a fact of life. KPFA's legal bills are approaching $250,000, almost 10% of our total budget. Legal struggles proceeded in New York since the mid-1990s, and in Berkeley in 1999, they continue to deplete KPFA and the foundation today. The litigation depletes this foundation. And yet, we've done some brilliant programming and shown outstanding broadcasting skills here and around the network. The Occupy Oakland confrontations, almost under wartime conditions, where our producers were out working extremely hard on those events and doing great work. People said the station sound is as good as it ever did, and for a moment we felt in tune with each other and with our potential. We face 2012 recognising and committed to the programming opportunities that avail us, and the knowledge that we are still here, still broadcasting after all these years and battles, and the potential is still enormous. We have hardly used our online and social networking potential at all, and this should be a big push this year to increase audience and raise revenue. And actually, we do live in exciting times, and the good part about this is there's so much improvement that we can make, and that I think is really exciting. I see that as a positive. Business and development and fundraising. KPFA, as Laura points out, she's absolutely correct. We are pitching more days. We'll pitch about 80 days this year. We're still not up to WBAI's dismal situation where they pitch 1 in 3 days a year, and I don't intend to get to that situation. This is more than in the past. On average in the past, on-air fundraising has returned approximately 90% of our goal since I've been in the seat, which is not as good as it could be, but it's not as bad as it could be either in the economic climate. This means that we need to either cut expenses or increase revenue, obviously. If current trends continue and we are unable to increase our revenue streams, KPFA can expect a 10% shortfall from last year. Some of the KPFA deficit is due to excessive legal expenses, which continue to plague us. If we did not have them, we'd have $200,000 in the bank. So it's really, in large part, our legal expenses, which lay at the feet of many people. I'm not going to throw aspersions to that right now. I think we had enough of that. We know we don't have a development director, nor is there an allowance for one in the current budget, but I do say again, as I've said many times, we do have, and we will continue to have, the well-qualified development consultant which probably is more economical and likely actually brings more skills to the development transaction. We continue to work with Klein and Ross and plan a major donor campaign and funding for the KPFA apprenticeship program. And there's also talk, well, one of the things that's coming up was mentioned by Cynthia in relation, well, it's not exactly development, but special events, is the whistleblower conference, which we are covering on coming up. That's, I'm sorry, it's the foreclosure forum, which is coming up on February the 20th. A woman and a former real estate agent, C.J. Holmes, is going to lead this, and she's just come out of the woodwork in the past 10 days or so. And as Cynthia pointed out, she did a great conference up in Santa Rosa two Fridays ago. We met her. We were very impressed. She came down to, she's been down in Berkeley a couple of times. She's been on air. We've opened the phones, and it's been really valuable to have that interaction with our listeners talking about real issues related to foreclosure. And I'm hoping that we will continue to have more of these foreclosure forums. I think they can be really valuable and get us some good press. And I think it's something we should be doing. We have people in our own organisation whose grandparents are being foreclosed on, and we intend to stay on top of that. Another thing we're doing, which is a new old thing, Bob Baldock is responsible for this. Michio Kaku is coming to town Thursday, February the 23rd, and we're planning to do a one-hour reception for Michio for major donors before that event. I do expect that this will become, I'm hoping this will become a regular occurrence when we have these special high-profile guests in town, that we can invite major donors and do some glad handing with them and show respect for them and give them an opportunity to meet with some of these major speakers like Michio. And as Janet pointed out, a whistleblower forum, we are going to be covering that also. Thank you for that information, Janet. I just want to point out one thing, and it's slightly controversial, I suppose, but it's very damaging to KPFA, not to say the individuals involved, when what I describe as misinformation goes out. Now, unfortunately, there's been a habit of bad mouthing management, and that's okay. I can take it. But to compare current management with the governor of Wisconsin, Scott Walker, and you can laugh, it's great. I mean, I laughed when I heard it. I am the union buster. I'm sitting right here, who never busted a union in his life. I've declared war on the workers, and I'm trying to crash the station. This is the information that goes out. Where's the evidence? Where is the evidence? I have declared war on the workers. I point out that it was not me that lost that large check. If there are instances of my union busting, I challenge those who say it and the ghost writers at Save KPFA and the KPFA worker to show proof of my so-called union busting. Of course they won't. That information will go out and distort what's happening at KPFA, which affects all of us, makes it difficult for the staff to raise money because they're seen as working with a union busting manager, which is, I think, unfair to the staff. To some extent, I don't care. I really don't. I'm a union buster. Okay. As I said, show me the proof. I often said when I worked in radio, when people questioned my politics, I said, well, look at the body of work I've done, look at the documentaries I've done, and then come back and tell me what you think. And I'll throw that out to you too. And if you want to see my resume of documentaries, you can look at my application for the job at KPFA. KPFA is now with the Mechanics Bank, an independently owned local bank established in the area, and I signed the first Mechanic Bank's checks on Friday, so that's great. In terms of programming, you all know that we have not had many, we've had essentially no major program changes since I've been at KPFA, and currently there is no program council at KPFA. As you know, it was disbanded in the past. We are willing and look forward to working with those who are interested in reinstalling a program council, and I hope it will happen this year. And that's my report. Thank you.
Thank you. So now it's time for questions and comments from the board. Is my microphone on? No? Okay. It's time. I thanked Andrew for his report and said it's time for comments and questions from the board. And so I will recognize board members as I see their hands. Mal, and then Franklin.
Is this mic working?
Yeah.
Okay. My recollection, Andrew, is that you were asked a number of months ago to submit an outline for a program council that you could work with. And as far as I know, that has never been forthcoming. Is that correct?
I believe there was a submission put forward by a program director for the for program council some months ago.
I have never seen it.
Okay, so can I comment on this? What happened was that there was a very vague thing from Corey that wasn't really very clear and didn't exactly outline what a program council would look like. Con Hallinan prepared a resolution on the program council, which was passed at a meeting. I don't even remember when. Someone will tell me when it was. And maybe it was at the December meeting. Or maybe it was earlier. I can't remember. And so that was the board's proposal on a program council, and I thought we were ready to move ahead. Sorry about that. Don't know. Okay. Next person is Franklin.
Hello. Check. How y'all doing today? Thanks for your report, Andrew. And I just held out on my comments till Andrew did his report. I just wanted to publicly thank him for the support to the apprenticeship program, paying attention to our shows, and giving the feedback to Aquila and LeFleur, we call her Sarah LeFleur, on their foreclosure special that they did on last Friday night. Not last night, but 2 weeks ago, Friday night. And just thanks for that support for the apprenticeship program and paying attention to our program and acknowledging the work that they do, because they worked really hard on that show. And as you know, Aquila's grandmother, one of the apprentices' house, just got foreclosed on. She'd been there over 30 years. And so it was kind of a fight, and she's working with that lady, C.J. Holmes, that Andrew mentioned, which I feel has been great on the air to help that. So I just wanted to acknowledge your acknowledgement of the apprentices and the work that they're doing. And thank you for that.
Thank you. I had two questions. Last month I asked about the Santa Cruz booster, and I was wondering if there's any change in status on that and where we are. With that, I continue to get inquiries from listeners in the Santa Cruz area who are interested in knowing when they'll be able to hear KPFA in Santa Cruz proper. The other question I had was about the current fund drive. I know we're only 3 days into it, but I was wondering if you could give us any idea of where the money's coming from, which parts of the day or which particular programs are the most successful, which ones are not doing as well, so we just have some sense of what's going on with the fund drive.
The Santa Cruz situation, my understanding is that it's up and running. I haven't spoken to Stephen Bryant for a couple of weeks, but the last correspondence or last phone call I had with him, it was up and running, and I am still waiting. We have our paperwork prepared at the station. We have engineering drawings. We need an engineer, a registered engineer, which we don't have one at KPFA, to sign off on those drawings. The suggestion was to work with an engineer in Santa Cruz, and I have not heard back from them. So I can only report that, as far as I know, it is up and running, but we still have not signed any paperwork. I hope by next month that will be achieved, but I'm still waiting to hear back from Santa Cruz, and I will call them again next week.
Okay.
The current fund drive, I just did some math. Laura mentioned that we made about $100,000 so far. Our goal is $800,000, so just doing the quick math, the projection would be that based on the current fundraising input, that would be about $766,000 we will make. I would suggest it's going to be better than that. I think we're probably going to hit our goal. I think the Grateful Debt program, if it does what it did last year, it will bring in the equivalent of 2 days of fundraising as it did last year. And I think we'll probably improve. I think we may hit our goal this time. So in my report, I said we've been coming in traditionally with about a 10% deficit with our goals. I'm thinking this time maybe we're going to hit our goal, which will be great. That's where it stands at the moment. In terms of where the money is coming from, Mitch Jezerich continues to do very well. The news is doing pretty well. I want to point out that the numbers that we raised in both those programs were essentially split 50-50 with Los Angeles. So Mitch did $7,000, I think it was, the other day. Laura's nodding her head.
I can tell you that on Thursday we made $9,700, and $57,000 of that was KPFA.
$5,700, excuse me.
And yesterday is Friday. We're not on KPFK, and we made $5,055, all KPFA money. So it's not 50-50. It's more like 70-20.
Well, thank you for that clarification. The point I was making that both those programs go out in both markets, and so we don't get all of the money, but we get a lot of the money, as we've just heard, and both those programs are doing quite well. The morning mix has improved somewhat. It's averaging now about 2,500, which is not what the old morning show used to do, but it's better than $1,000, such as the morning mix was doing when it first started, and less. It's now averaging about 2,500. The drive time slot could be stronger. The evening drive, that is, between 4 and 6, it could be stronger. It's not as strong as it used to be. I don't know why. I mean, it's hard to judge. I mean, it's one measure of a program's success is to use the amount of money it makes, but that's just one measure. I think generally the station's doing reasonably well, but what I'm looking for is how we can increase our web outreach. I think now if you're listening to KPFA, to our fund drives, you'll often hear people pledging from Washington State or from way out of state. There's more people listening online. To the extent that we can develop our online presence, I think we're going to be able to do far better with our fund drives.
Thank you. I have three more people on the list, but before I call on them, I want to ask for the indulgence of the board. When we got to the public comment section on our agenda, there was no public here, but I now see two people, and I assume that you both want to address the board. Are you? I can't see this gentleman. I know, Joy, you want to address the board, right? And when we adopted the agenda, we voted to go into executive session after Andrew's report. But with the indulgence of the board, I'd like to amend that slightly to allow the people who've come here to talk to us and then go into executive session. Mm-hmm. Does anybody object to that? Okay. So the people I have on the list are Sasha, Andrea, and Andrea. So Sasha, go ahead.
Hi. Thank you, Andrew. I have a few questions. Do you want me to do them all at once, or because they're not necessarily connected? Or okay. So you had we just said something that I wanted to ask a question about, but it's not down in writing, so I don't remember what it was. How's that? Great beginning. I'm curious about the development consultant and what that has cost to date and sort of for how many months we've been using that consultant, and what's going on with the major program, major donor, attempt to get more major donors, and also fundraising for the apprenticeship program. I wonder if we could have any more information. Sort of hand in hand with that, as you mentioned, the reception that is going on, is that something that KPFA LSB members are invited to, or and so forth? Then I admit to being a little confused. I thought you started out by saying you were doing a PNB report. Maybe I misunderstood and you were passing the archives report around, so that sort of left me kind of confused about a number of things that were said. And then I have notes here that say that KPFA has incurred $1.4 million in legal bills. Is that this year?
No.
I wrote it down. A quarter of a million. Okay. I was having a difficulty understanding.
No, a quarter of a million.
Did you hear 1.4 as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard 1.4, but okay. So that's the 200,000 that became 80,000 and now is 250,000. Could you maybe explain that to whatever degree you can in public? Because I'm sort of confused about that. And what ideas do you have for our online, you mentioned online and social networking, financial potential, and I'm wondering if you would like to elaborate on that a little bit. Thanks.
The development consultant, we haven't, I don't have a specific number. It's probably, it's way under $5,000 that we've spent with our development consultant. We haven't had a lot of meetings with Kim. We've had, I think, three meetings. The first one, she didn't charge us.
Could you repeat the consultant you're muddling into?
I'm muffling? Okay, is that better? Sorry. No, I said under $5,000.
$5,000.
Yeah, way under. I mean, we've had about three meetings with Kim, and we're basically getting back on that process this year. She's been away. We've been trying to get a meeting. She's been a little bit under the weather and traveling, and we're planning another meeting quite in the next couple of weeks. We haven't settled on a date. What have we actually done? Not a great deal. We've actually come up with some ideas, but we want to do some implementation. And one of the implementation projects is the apprenticeship program. I think I pointed out some time ago that the advantages of working, for instance, with the apprenticeship program or, for instance, with our online presence is to some extent separate ourselves from KPFA, obviously not literally, but pushing the apprenticeship program I don't think anyone will be critical of that. I mean, in the development community, in the fundraising community, people will see that as a positive because it is a positive and we have something positive to show. I think that's one of our objectives. Another one of the objectives is the ongoing, what do we do with 1929, the Nakapan building next door? How do we maintain that? Well, it's slowly falling apart. What do we do with that? And we don't have an answer for that now, but that's another project we want to work on. And the online project is another one. What does that mean? Well, it really means evaluating what our current online presence is and how we might improve that and reach out into the community. How might we do that? So these are the kinds of things that we have been discussing and will continue to discuss with Kim Klein when we have another meeting with her. The major donor reception is absolutely open to the LSB folks. Now, Bob Baldock came up with a suggestion earlier last week, and we're moving very quickly to try and maintain that. We'll be working with Jan Eitri. She'll be helping with the catering of it. We're having a meeting on Monday at noon at the station, those that are involved in it, Phil Osiaga, Jan, Bob. We'll be meeting about that, and you'll hear more about that, I'm sure, by midweek or by the end of next week, this coming week, that is. The legal expenses, the amount is roughly $250,000. And I think, if I think that may actually be over an 18-month period. When I saw that, I understood it to be over a 12-month period, but it may be over an 18-month period.
18.
I need clarification on that. The point is that it's a lot of money, and it just seems to be something we have to budget for, not just at KPFA, but within Pacifica now. And we do budget some money for legal, but nowhere near that amount of money. And it's just taking a lot of our revenue, obviously. It's really any profit that we would have made, any overage we would have made with our fundraising is eaten up by that legal line. Did I answer all your questions?
Can I ask? I'm concerned about time here. We have a little bit of time, but I want to ask. We have a bunch of people on the list. More people are raising their hands. I think we should perhaps move on. If that's our. You got.
Just real quickie. So if. I'm just thinking in terms of if board members were to go to the reception, it would seem to me that we would kind of need to know who the major donors or potential major donors are and what your focus is to try to turn them. I mean, you know, we ought to be educated in some respect if we're going to go to that reception. We need to be given some background and some context. Not necessarily here and now, but I mean, if that's the case, perhaps you can put something together so that. I mean, I wouldn't want to walk into a reception not knowing who the major donors were, or the ones that you hope were potential major donors, or without knowing what they were interested in, so I knew what to talk to them about and so forth, right?
Well, this is something which came up a few days ago, and on Monday we're going to have a face-to-face meeting. So far we've had some email meetings, and after we've had those, I'll send out information, or we will send out information about the event to you and everybody concerned. I mean, we haven't worked out how we're actually going to even invite the donors yet, whether we're going to email them or whether we're going to send them something through the mail. It's a work in progress, but it will happen. We've arranged it with Michio, and it'll happen on the 23rd, on Thursday the 23rd at 6 o'clock.
Okay. Moving on. I have on the list now Andrea, Janet, Tracy, Dan, and Jack, and I'm hoping that we can go through this really quickly. You're Andrea, is that right?
Yeah.
And she's Andrea.
I'm great.
I'm working on getting this right.
Andrea, I want to thank you again for coming to deliver your report, and I do want to commend, you know, what I've been listening to on KPFA. I've really just felt grateful for so much wonderful programming and so many people just volunteering and digging and working with such passion and commitment. So I just really want to hold that up and appreciate it and everybody who supports that. I continue to be sort of kind of mystified a little bit just at what is it that, how can we create links between this board and the efforts that are going on administratively to grow and develop our listenership? I'm curious, I actually have a memory of us having voted funds for a development director or a development effort. And it's been in our budgets, I think, for the last 2 years, somewhere in the neighborhood of 50,000 plus. And we at one point had an effort to have a development committee from this LSB to work with projects, but it got a little flummoxed because we got, I think, a little out of communication with admin, with management, I'm sorry. But I guess I want to encourage you to reach out to volunteers because you name off a lot of projects that all would be wonderful development projects. And it feels like something that we really could do is I think there's enough talent and connected people here on this board. Like, I actually feel what Sasha is saying, that members of the LSB could go and could help cultivate major donors and so forth. But I also agree, I get a little nervous thinking of like, all right, here's a, local celebrity, all the LSB show up, and then it becomes something else. if we were meeting beforehand and we said, okay, LSB members, how can you support this effort? What could you do? So if we offer ourselves as volunteers in these efforts and allow ourselves to be coordinated by management, who I'm hoping have this development scheme developed, that's where I'm getting a little nervous. I wish I knew about a timeline and a development goals, and I would love it if this body could try again to convene a development group, and if management could sit in on those consultations with the development director and become a team that's working for development, and not just you or not just you and a consultant who's inconsistently attending. But I think there are people here who would do that. So I really want to encourage you to either invite people here to be part of the creation of a development plan or to delegate responsibilities, just give us tasks to do to support that overall plan. But I feel like we need that plan. And I think you're absolutely right that the apprenticeship program is a great project that could get funded for many reasons. And I think we should hold it up as a big star, you know, in the crown here. But we got to, it's communication. So I think we're making strides in that direction. But I also feel like this board has really made it clear that we want to do some development work, either through those allocations in the budget and our whatever stymied little efforts we had. So use this well.
Point made up. Thank you.
Okay, Andrea.
Thanks for coming, Andrew. A couple of questions. I want to piggyback on what you're saying because I have two dear projects close to my heart, and that's the internship project. And you say that you're working with the fund developer. What plans, or do you have anything for that $5,000, if I'm understanding, that she has already cultivated for them or developed for them since we paid $5,000? Am I to understand we did already? And she was to come up with something for the internship program. Do we know what that entails? Is it the apprenticeship? Yeah.
What have we got for the money? Well,
yeah.
Let me ask. Do you have a second question?
Yeah.
And
okay, right. And the other one was the unpaid staff. Do we know the exact numbers? Is there a plan of action for the unpaid staff in terms of training and orientation and that kind of thing? I thought we were going to work on something like that too, but.
One of the smaller things we did with Kim was we did a fundraising workshop at the station, which we videotaped, which is available for producers to see. Mitch was there, Louise Medina was there, I think Veronica Faison was there, and Kim Klein. We did a fundraising workshop with her. That was one of the jobs we did. But a lot of what had happened last year, and I point out that we haven't met for at least 2 months, maybe 3 months. We outlined some proposals, but we haven't moved forward on any of them.
Okay.
That would happen this year. We were going to meet subsequent. I know I'm sort of flubbing this one off to some extent, but we haven't actually done very much so far, to be quite honest with you. But we have some plans, we've got some ideas, we've created a relationship, and I do expect to come back with something more positive within the near future. I haven't met with Kim for 3 months.
Okay. I think there are those of us, some of us, who'd like to be involved in on the fund development.
Well, I'd be happy to do that, and I think what would happen, we would have another meeting with her just to outline exactly where we're at. Then we could do a small presentation to a small group of LSB members, perhaps, and get
feedback,
like a feedback situation, move from there.
Yeah,
that sounds good.
Thank you.
Okay. I don't know. Was there a second question?
Yeah, about the unpaid staff.
The unpaid staff.
Well, I mean, I don't think we've done any real. I think it's a great comment to make. I think we need to be doing more training or listening sessions with all of our staff, and it's one of the things which I actually have suggested to the apprenticeship program just last night. I spoke to Mickey Mays and I said, I'd really like to sit down. Frank had mentioned this excellent program that a couple of the apprentices did a couple of weeks ago, to sit down, listen to the program and do what we call a master class, to go through, listen to the program, point out, do a critique of it as a group. So I would like to do that, and I would like to invite anybody who wants to come. It will be opened up to sit down with the producers to show that we are listening and to point out what could be done better, what's great, what works, what perhaps could be improved upon. So, yeah, I would like to institute that. Another thing that I have thought about is a mentor program. I've never mentioned this at one of these LSB meetings, but it seems to me that mature, experienced broadcasters could be encouraged each to take on a mentor, to take on someone beside them. Now, the apprenticeship program works like that. I mean, Frank is a classic. He is mentoring at least a couple of people at KPFA, at least two. It would be great if all of our producers worked with a less experienced person, a mentorship program. So that's something which I've been thinking about. I haven't done anything about it, but it was something which I'd like to see happen. And I think that would fit in with your question, with the objective of your question, training and mentorship.
I just want to comment that there's one other question about the unpaid staff that's come up on the PNB election committee, and that has to do with how you count the unpaid staff and who gets to participate in elections. We're going to have a system-wide elections this fall, and the elections committee is very interested in getting some sort of a consistent method throughout the network for determining who is and who isn't unpaid staff for the purposes of the election. The next on the list is Janet.
Yes, Andrew, first I just wanted to appreciate the work that you've been doing for KPFA. You talked about increasing the KPFA's website presence. So I'm curious what your vision is for this and what are some of the challenges other than financial or, you know, especially other than financial. And then on a related matter, I had referred someone from OccupyRadio.fm to you, and I was wondering, and that's a national, well, it's going to be a national online radio program, so it's going to be online. And I was wondering whatever happened with that, if anything.
The Occupy Radio. Well, someone from the Occupy movement came in and we've been asked some questions about that, how they could be involved. So we're talking about it. We just met late last week. I got an email from her. I need to respond to it. Essentially, it's they're looking for some time on the station. That's kind of what it is. They were looking for a whole program, but I don't think a whole program is going to happen. I mean, we already do a lot of Occupy coverage, but I think that bringing in some of the voices, such as she seemed very well connected, bringing in some of her voices to programs that already exist, that's the line I'm taking with her to introduce her to some of our producers and try to get more involvement that way. I mean, out in New York, the station there, WBAI, has a five-day-a-week, half-hour Occupy program produced by Occupy people. But it's Occupy today. I don't know what it's going to be tomorrow. I mean, the what? Something else, yeah. So, I mean, actually starting we're doing a lot of Occupy program, actually, but I'd be very happy to work with this woman whose name escapes me as I'm sitting here right now. But thanks for hooking us up, by the way, Janet.
Okay.
In terms of the web, I'm hoping to bring something more specific on that. We started, and Henry was kind enough to come to one of our sessions, a web working group, which kind of frittered out. There just was not a lot of enthusiasm inside the station for really... Well, we just haven't been able to get any traction. Part of that's my fault, I guess, but there's a kind of malaise at our station, and I would say maybe at our network. There's a kind of malaise in our network, and it's been like that since the late 70s when I first came to KPFA, WBAI and Pacifica. I mean, the number of members that Pacifica has today is about the same as it had 30 years ago. I don't think we've got, we've got about 60,000. We've probably got less than 300,000 members in the United States, which is a pretty small percentage. It's been that like that for many, many years. It hasn't changed. So it's not just KPFA. In some ways, KPFA is the most sophisticated of the stations. We certainly have the most sophisticated information technology going and with our web servers and whatnot. Other stations don't have what we have. But we don't have the outreach. We've never been able to get the outreach that we needed on the internet. And I will continue to work on that. And I'm hoping within the next few months, depending on whether I'm here or not, and even if I'm not, I'll share with you what I'm working on. But I'm not prepared to share it now, but I assure you I'm working on some very interesting developments. And I don't blame you for smiling. I would too if someone said that. But you will see something very soon. I'm working on something quite exciting on the web, but I'm not prepared to say what it is yet because it's not at all final.
The secretary just pointed out to me that I was confused about the time. We're 15, maybe 20 minutes over on this topic on the agenda, and I apologize for not paying closer attention. I will call on the people who I told that they'd get to speak before, but I'm closing the list right now. So we have Tracy, Dan, and Jack. Tracy.
Yeah, just a couple of quick things to update. Andrew, I don't know what your level of awareness of this is because I know it gets talked about on the board a lot, and sometimes I'm not sure how much things penetrate out of that little echo zone. But have you heard anything about a registry database program for the purpose of keeping unpaid staff contact info up to date and registered, and if you have or haven't, what do you know about it? Because the idea is to roll it out this year, and that should address that problem. The second thing that I wanted to do, if it's okay, was just say quickly the stuff that's going around about the archives and the affiliate program and the national board meeting is from me. I thought members of the board might want to see it, and I thought things could be passed around. It has nothing to do with Andrew. And finally, on the legal bills, would it be okay if I clarified what you said? Because we got all the information this weekend, so it seems logical to me to clarify it. Would that be okay? All right. Okay, and then I would like an answer to the question about the staff database. If you are talking about a quarter million in legal bills, you are talking about an 18-month period. That's not correct. In 12 months, it's around $175,000 of that. $80,000 relates to the five National Labor Relations Board complaints, all of which have been dismissed. One is being appealed. There's an additional approximately $20,000 or $25,000 related to arbitrations, and then the balance relates to sexual harassment settlements and legal bills that go back to for cases that go back several years, way before your tenure. So that's the legal bill summary. So can I ask you again the question about this unpaid staff registry database, and has anybody talked to you about it? 2 points for us. Okay, we'll have to do that.
I couldn't hear sitting behind that speaker.
I know.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Well, that was all. So, Tracy, as I understand your question, you're asking Andrew if he knows about the unpaid staff registry database that...
Yeah.
We've been discussing at the elections meeting committee.
And everybody keeps discussing. But.
Okay.
Hello, check. Okay. Anthony, do you know anything about that?
He's on the elections committee.
Yeah, it's been, it has indeed been talked about at the PNB elections committee. And to clarify, I think what was in last month's minutes, The time when the unpaid staff list gets updated is when an unpaid staff election or a board election is coming up. So that, of course, will have to be done again. this year. We want to get an UPSO election underway as soon as possible, and then after that, the LSB election will be coming down the pipe. So that's when, and the process is contacting the heads of programs and saying, okay, who worked the requisite number of hours in the past 12 months? So it's a straightforward process, but time-consuming, hence it tends not to be updated constantly if there isn't any cause to do so. But I would naturally like to see a system whereby people could update that continuously. That would certainly be useful.
Okay. Next I have Dan.
So my reaction to Andrew's report reflects a lot of the conversation at the national board meeting last weekend. And I could sum up very briefly by saying is that the foundation remains in serious financial jeopardy. There's a concern that we are tapping out our ability to do on-air fundraising. I think that's a national concern that I certainly share. And to me, what that means is that the process for figuring out other fundraising and development efforts, I think, really needs to come to the fore. I mean, I don't blame Andrew for this completely, but it's been many months that as an LSB, we tried to raise the issue of working on a development plan to a high priority, and it seems like it's moving too slowly, and maybe that's because we decided to fund a consultant on a periodic basis versus a full-time development person, which some of us thought was the solution. But this is a problem, and it's got to be top priority, not only at KPFA, but throughout the network. And the issue of our online presence, ditto, you know. Again, I mean, there's room for conversation here, but there are at least some people on the board who believe that our ability to grow as a primarily radio-based network is limited, given the different forms of information and communications technologies that are becoming dominant, and certainly for people under 40 or maybe even under 50, they get their news and information much more from the internet than they do from listening to the radio, and we are behind, and so that needs to be a priority. And I don't suggest there's a model out there that we can simply adopt, but on the other hand, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. I think when you look at what Democracy Now, for example, has been able to do online compared with what Pacifica does, you know, it's a very unfavorable comparison. And we've had some excellent people such as Michael Yoshida who have been part of Pacifica who really know this stuff. And so I just think that Andrew should do this and spend his time doing it. And this is not a jibe, but I think just like the board, Andrew's been spending too much of his time on internal politics, and that's not his job and not a priority that I would endorse his spending time on, especially at the expense of development and developing our web presence.
Okay, next is Jack. And then we're done. I'll give Andrew a chance to comment, but then we're through.
Hello? Is that okay? So, I have a couple of comments. First comment has to do with the amount of money spent on legal fees. It seems to me that the question of the amount of money spent on legal fees is used as a club. Oh, look at the amount of money we've spent on legal fees. But we have never gotten a breakdown about what those legal fees are spent for, as accompanying a report on how much money we're spending on legal fees. So how much of those legal fees have been spent, and I'll editorialize, on dumbass things that Pacifica management has done for which it has paid the penalty, like refusing to seat duly elected members of the local station board or the PNB. You know, that, so you talk about $250,000. I want to know what it's spent for, a breakdown. No, I don't want to know it from Tracy, who knows everything. I want to know it from a manager's report, if the manager is going to include that in a report. Tracy is not a manager. The second thing is that I am personally distressed, Andrew, that in your email reports to the listeners, you have chosen to take a role in the recall election. From my point of view, the recall election is none of your business. It is the business of the board and the membership, and it is not the business of management. It ain't, and you shouldn't. It's not your job.
Okay. Can I ask, I wasn't asking for timing on this, but I think we need to.
Okay, I'm done.
Okay, thank you, Jack. All right, Andrew, you can respond, and then we'll be done with this item.
I gave a report last LSB meeting where I said I wanted to correct misinformation as a manager of KPFA, which is what I did. Now, you choose, Jack, and some others, to describe that as being involved in the recall. I choose to describe it as correcting the information. And if you or others want to debate it with people who know the facts of it, the history of it, I think that should happen. But I think that sending out a Save KPFA leaflet to roughly 20,000 people, I think management has a right, and more than a right, a responsibility, Jack, to reply to it. And I'm sick of being painted as a union buster one, as someone trying to break up this station two, by people like you and other people on this board, and it's just nonsense. Bring me the facts. Show me the information. Show me the truth. I'm a journalist. I like to see the facts, Jack. That's it.
Thank you. Now we're ready to move on to public comments. I know, Joy, I don't know your name. I'm sorry, but...
Brian.
Okay. So why don't you go ahead, Brian, because you were here first.
Can I have a point of personal privilege?
Sure.
Which I think is I guess I want to ask members of the board that I know, I think it's important that the public comes. And I think it's important that they feel listened to and welcomed. And so I want to appreciate everybody on the board who is able to give their undivided attention either to the GM or to anybody who comes to address us. So as compelling as the sports page may be or various other activities that we might, I got papers in my bag, I could be grading papers. But I think it's a sign of respect to just try to give our best attention.
I agree with you, and I try always to welcome the public and to listen attentively to what they say. Brian, go ahead. There's a microphone right by Henry you can use.
Does this work?
Yeah.
I want to thank you guys for having this meeting here. I've been a longtime donor. And I live over near Lake Merritt, and I probably wouldn't have attended your board meeting if you hadn't rotated around over to near here. I often don't ride up to Berkeley. Anyway, I came here today because I was curious about what's been happening. I've been receiving the emails from Save KPFA and whatever else, and I don't know what's happening. I'm very concerned about it. KPFA and the Pacifica Network has meant a lot to me. Let me go off on a quick little tangent for you. I'm a Midwestern lefty. I grew up...
Take the microphone a little bit further away from your mouth.
Okay.
Turn it around.
Is this okay?
Yeah, that's
okay.
Much better. Thank you.
Midwestern lefty, I've been blown around the United States by capitalism, and it was in the mid-90s when I actually heard about the Pacifica Network, and it was because of the kerfluffle that happened back then. I actually heard about it on NPR, and it felt so good to know that there was something like KPFA and the Pacifica Network out there. Now, it was a number of years before I moved out here to San Francisco, but I'll admit that KPFA was part of the reason why I chose to move out here. And the reason I'm telling you, everybody, all of this, is that I know in any organization that you're going to have people butting heads. And, you know, I've heard about what happened with the morning show and all of that kind of stuff. I don't know exactly what all of that meant, but let me just say that I'm one of those people out there in the United States, the 300,000 or however many, that relies on what service that KPFA provides. It's a desert out there as far as information is concerned, and you guys actually are a conduit for other voices. So I just want to say, you know, please try and get past your differences. You mean a lot to me. I've been unemployed for 3 years. I eat one meal a day, but I donate $1 a week to KPFA. It's part of my sustenance. And the people that I know, I try to convince them all the time to, I'm constantly sending them links to the programs that have been saved on the net. You know, an interesting program I came across. I'm like, here, give this a listen. You'll appreciate this. Whenever I'm with Occupy Oakland or whatever, I try and get people to donate. I know they're like me and they don't have a lot of money, but it's like, you know, if we can all chip in a little bit of money and we can, you know, do what we can. Anyway, I just want to let you know that there are people like me out there. I'm concerned about what's happening right now in the last couple of months. I don't know what's happening. That's why I came here today. And I'll admit I haven't really gotten any answers, but I just wanted to let you know that we're out there and we're concerned.
And I'll bet the outreach committee would like to talk to you. Okay. Joy.
Thank you. Sorry I was a little late. First of all, I want to thank you all, as always, for giving up your time to come and meet together. I am still very concerned about the tone and the attitudes and some of the things that are said, how personal this all is. We are in a personal business, so... a couple of things. First, there are at least 10 apprentices, past apprentices now working at the station. So we need to know that the work that gets done at that station, a lot of it is done and has been for years by the apprentices. There are only about, and I'll probably get corrected, but about 25 to 30 people who are actually benefited union employees at KPFA. Excuse me? There are over 100 people who are in the station and run the station, but only about 30 who are represented by the union. The unpaid staff do not have representation with management. We don't have an unpaid staff organization, and we need it. It will go a long way to get rid of some of these legal things we got going on. We also need a board of mediation or reconciliation within the station to keep it from going to the courts. Let's have a moratorium. Let's pay everybody who's suing us now some kind of money, get them off the book, and start all over again with a process that allows for employees to have somewhere to go other than a union. A union is a great thing, but it doesn't cover most of the people at the station. I hope, and then what I'm asking of you? I've been coming here in sort of like sequel parts because I only get 4 minutes, so here's the end of it for me. I am here to support Frank in his position as representative, particularly as a member of the apprenticeship program. I am here to support Andrew and Carrie, the work that they've been doing, the station. It takes a while to clean up the messes. So if you have to give them a little more time, but I think things are changing. Relationships are being developed. Trust is being built. Systems are being analyzed and looked at. Things are changing. It doesn't always look like it, but they are. And, of course, I am here to support Tracy Rosencrantz because she has been a very strong supporter of me, the KPFA apprenticeship program, and KPFA in general. And there are a lot of people here, too, that I would support as well if they were facing this vitriolic campaign. And Tracy sounds like she knows a lot, but she doesn't know everything. She knows a lot, but she doesn't know everything, and I want to make sure people know she doesn't know everything. I want to encourage, and I trust that all of you are advocates and vocal proponents within your communities for KPFA, that you talk about it with your friends and family, that you try to get people to donate. That's what a board does. You go out to other people and say, hey, I'm on KPFA board. We need money. Can you give us $25? Can you give it $50? Whatever. That's a function of this board. And I'm hoping. I'm just reminding you guys. I'm not mad or anything. I'm just reminding you. We should also encourage people to come and answer phones. It's an archaic system we have of collecting money. It's unique now. Everybody did it after we started it. Now they're all moving away and doing the electronic version, and we're still doing it. We're unique again. We're unique again. And I want to take exception with Andrew saying we have the same amount of members. Some of them are new. We get new members every day. Maybe we don't grow in total numbers, but every day or every week somebody calls in and says, man, I just heard your station. It's just the bomb. So we go out and cover Occupy. All those people who were at the Occupy today, half of them discover KPFA. So we are getting new members. We just have to find a way to get those new members to get more members. That's the biggest thing. That's why we're fighting so much, because we have limited resources. I'm almost done. Finally, our efforts to guide this station in these difficult times. First of all, we should always remember we have almost 62 years under our belt. That's important. This fight that we have, this heated exchange, this disrespect for each other and all this, it's been going on for 62 years. But we've survived. Almost. And so I'm saying I would like to see us be more open and transparent as a group, less secretive meetings, less secretive factions. If we could just consider ourselves to be one entity, the board, not Save KPFA, not whatever the names are. I don't even know the names of the group, and I try to stay out of that because it blows my head up. I really do. I explode when I read some of this stuff. So I want us to remember that what we've chosen as a mission, to have open communication, to try to engender peace in the world, it's a lofty mission. It's not been done. It's not been done. We are trying to do something that hasn't been done before. Just like Hard Knocks says. So we have to remember what we're doing is very, very difficult. It takes extraordinary effort. And the effort I'm asking of you all is to try to love each other, or at least like each other, or at least respect each other. That's the least I can ask. And I'm not going to keep coming and doing this, but I feel like I got it right. Y'all need people to remind you, like this gentleman right here, of how important this station is. It's important. And again, I thank you all for giving up your time to do this.
Okay, so now we're going to go into our closed session where we will discuss the IGM evaluation and the report from the Personnel Committee. Andrew is invited to stay for the discussion of the evaluation as he chooses. He can stay or not. It's up to him. I will report to the board that he did not choose to respond with a self-evaluation. I apologize. And so now we have to ask our guests to leave because we are going into closed session. And I suggest we take a 2-minute break while we do this. Thank you both very much for coming. Thank you.